Welcome to episode 362 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. In many traditions of the church, there has been confusion and controversy about the roles of women in ministry. While people still debate what Paul meant in a few passages, there is strong evidence throughout Scripture that God intended women to take a leadership role. Women in the Bible were prophetesses, judges, queens, deacons, and maybe even apostles. They were leaders in both official and unofficial capacities.
Today's top 10 list.
10 women leaders in the Bible.
Number 1.
Miriam. Miriam is the sister who watched over her baby brother Moses among the bulrushes on the banks of the Nile. Their mother had hidden Moses in a basket on the riverbank to protect him from Pharaoh's decree to throw all Hebrew baby boys into the river. As Miriam watched, Pharaoh's daughter discovered and pitied Moses, and Miriam quickly intervened to ask if the Egyptian princess would like a Hebrew woman to nurse the child for her. The princess agreed, and Miriam quickly got their mother. Pharaoh's daughter commanded Moses' biological mother to nurse him and bring him back to her when he was older. By the grace of God, Miriam helped to save the infant Moses. Miriam had another brother, Aaron. Together, God used Moses, Miriam, and Aaron to lead the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt to the promised land in Canaan. After miraculously crossing the Red Sea on dry ground and seeing the Egyptian army overthrown in the sea, Miriam led the women with a tambourine in worshiping God with song and dance. The words to Miriam's song are recorded in Exodus 15, verse 21. Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. In the same passage of Exodus 15, she is given the title prophetess, the first of only a handful of women in Scripture identified that way.
Number 2.
Rahab. Rahab was an intelligent woman who showed remarkable wit and knowledge. Although not an Israelite, she showed great understanding of the recent history of Israel. She was aware of what God was doing for the Israelites when they approached her country. She was also a woman of great courage. Rahab obtained an agreement for protection from the spies that were sent by Joshua to spy out Jericho in advance of the crossing of the Jordan. She hid them and outsmarted her own people when they came looking for them. Once she made her decision that she was going to help the Israelites, there was no turning back. Siding with the Israelites was treason, punishable by death, not only for herself, but also for her entire family. Finally, Rahab was a woman with spiritual insight. She recognized the difference between Israel's God and the gods she and her people served. In affirming in Judges 2 verse 11 that the Lord your God is God in the heavens above and the earth beneath, she invoked the name Yahweh. This kind of faith was not often seen in God's people in the Old Testament, let alone from a Gentile prostitute.
Number 3.
Deborah. Deborah was named in the Old Testament as both prophetess and judge. The people came to her for words from God. She led, directed, and guided them. In Judges 5, Deborah led the people in song after leading them to victory in battle. She sang, "They held back until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose, a mother in Israel."
Number 4.
Rizpah. Rizpah has been described by some as a sort of Old Testament Antigone, who protested the massacre of her sons by publicly mourning night and day at the site where their bodies had been left to the elements. She cried out for months, from the beginning of the harvest till the rain poured down from the heavens on the bodies, keeping watch over her sons and fending away wild animals and birds. You can read about her in 2 Samuel 21. Her unrelenting despair won the solidarity of a war-weary people and finally moved King David to grant the men a proper burial, thus ending the famine that had swept the land. She serves as an amazing example of the effectiveness of prophetic protest.
Number 5.
Jehosheba. Jehosheba was a princess and she was married to the high priest Jehoiada. This is the only time in the Bible that we see a princess married to a high priest. Her father was King Joram, and her half-brother was King Ahaziah. King Ahaziah's mother was Queen Athalia, and Athalia was the daughter of the evil king and queen duo, Ahab and Jezebel. Queen Athalia attempted to wipe out the royal line. This is the line through which the Messiah would come. Jehoshaphat bravely saved her infant nephew, the Prince Joash, by hiding him in the temple for 6 years. She thereby preserved the line of succession from David to Jesus.
Number 6.
Esther. Esther saved the Jewish people living in exile from slaughter. Easily swayed by the petty and vengeful desires of one of his esteemed nobles named Haman, King Ahasuerus had signed a law ordering the massacre of the Jewish people. Had it not been for the bold intervention of Queen Esther, many would have perished for no logical reason. Esther 7 verse 3. Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be granted me for my wish and my people for my request."
Number 7.
Lydia. Upon arriving in Philippi, Paul first went to the Jews. He found no synagogue, but he did find women praying at the river. Lydia, a merchant, responded to the message of Christ and offered hospitality to Paul and Silas. The believers later gathered at the home of this businesswoman, an early church leader.
Number 8.
Nympha. Nympha was a Laodicean Christian mentioned in Colossians 4 verse 15. Paul instructed the Colossian church to pass on his greetings to the Laodiceans, including the Christians who met in Nympha's home. The early Christian church was characterized by house churches, and it appears that Nympha organized such a church in her own home.
Number 9.
Phoebe. Little is known about Phoebe except that she had the title of deacon. But many scholars believe Phoebe's role was to take Paul's letter to the church in Rome, where she would have read it to the believers and even answered questions they may have had.
Number 10.
Junia. Romans 16 verse 7. "Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews and fellow prisoners. They are noteworthy in the eyes of the apostles, and they were also in Christ before me." Other versions state, "They are outstanding among the apostles," or "They are of note among the apostles," or "who are prominent among the apostles." From this verse, many early scholars concluded that Andronicus and Junia were not only apostles, but particularly noteworthy apostles. And one of them was a woman. This has been questioned over time, but whether or not Junia was an apostle, she was certainly a leader. The fact that Junia was in Christ before me would make Junia one of the earliest Christians, since Paul had become a believer within 3 years of the resurrection. She may have even been in Jerusalem for Pentecost when Peter preached in Acts 2. Whenever Junia first believed, she was likely living in or near Jerusalem during the early days of the church. This would have given her ample time to become acquainted with the apostles. Romans 16 verse 7 also says that Junia was imprisoned for her faith at some point before Romans was written, approximately AD 55. This fact would make her one of the first believers arrested for her faith. She was maybe even in prison alongside Paul. Further, she was involved in the formation of the early church in Rome. Father, thank you for the examples of faith, courage, and leadership demonstrated by the women whose lives we studied today. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.